The RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Coors Light. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Coming up at 8:15, I need you to call in, because if you don't call in, you don't have a shot to win an invitation to the listener appreciation party. So this is for the streamers, the people who watch us on live stream, the app, whatever. 8:15, remember, call in and be caller 12, and you win an invitation to the listener appreciation party. And you get to play poker with the Blitz, not Granato, he's not allowed. And also watch film with Granato and Lance. Now back to Lance and Granato out at Prime Social.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Are you buying this Washington Post story that Mike Trout's Q rating is the same as Kenneth Faried's?
No. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Kenneth Faried?
Kenneth Faried.
Come on, the manster. What's his nickname? What's Faried's nickname? Like, I don't even, it's not even a factor anymore. It's like 3 years ago he was bigger than he is now. No. No, Mike Trout still has a much higher Q rating. He just doesn't inspire a lot of excitement, right? He's baseball J.J. Watt without all the pomp and circumstance.
Well, he's not anywhere near J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt is all about,
he looks,
hey,
like
everybody,
JJ,
look what I'm doing for the community.
That's Mike Trout. What I'm saying.
He's not like J.J. Watt. Mike Trout plays.
No. Hey, I'm sorry. The three-time defensive player of the year has got something to say to you.
Oh, how much time did he miss last year?
Future Hall of Famer J.J. Watt said, what? I can't hear you. All these defensive player of the year rings are in my ear.
Even with the time that Mike Trout missed last year, still plays far more than J.J. That's their biggest difference. One of them.
Well, when I say J.J., I mean they kind of look alike, and they're physically built the same.
You can't tell the difference between two white people?
I can't tell the difference between two corn-fed white guys, no.
No. I can't tell the difference between them either. If you put J.J. Watt right next to Mike Trout, I'd say, I don't know.
Who knows who's who?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
All white people look the same to me.
To me, too. I don't see color, though. So when you say white person, I'm like, what is a white person?
Are those two white?
Mean?
I have no idea.
What does that even mean?
You guys
would
be two great police officers, then, not being able to tell the difference between two people.
Well, you are extra salty today. You know what Dell is right now? Mm-hmm. Dell's like, I like to call him soy sauce, because he's got a lot of sodium bubbling up today.
That's
a lot of
little
sodium.
You want to use soy sauce? Oh, you can use soy sauce, but we can't play the game show?
Hey, you know, I did 2.5 hours with A.J. Hoffman yesterday.
Did you mention sports at any point?
Yeah, we did.
You did?
We did. I think management likes it better when you have some sports.
Some sports?
But he also was talking about his finishing moves against his wife and stuff like that whenever they're...
I know what you meant by that.
Whenever they're groin wrestling.
You don't have to.
That was on the air. The mics were on. But anyway, one thing that we didn't get to that I wanted to get to was you guys talked about it yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to talk about it. Tom Herman.
Yeah.
Tom's got some smoke now lately. You got Drew Lock coming after him, which he did it last year, but he did it again to the Fort Worth News or whatever at Big 12 Media Day. But then you have Deshaun Elliott talking about, how do you handle that if you're Tom Herman? I think you got to walk a little bit more of a fine line. You really have to be careful about how you handle former players, even if they're not yours. What Raheel or Dell called them, step players, which is actually a pretty interesting way of,
yeah, they are.
Maybe you said that.
I think, no, he said it, and it's pretty accurate. It is.
It's very accurate, but at the same time,
come on, Jeff.
Yeah, you don't want Deshaun saying, why don't you keep my name out of your mouth, Jeff?
Yeah.
Jeff Herman.
Yeah.
You're sitting here screwing my mom and eating my food, and you're not even my real dad. Charlie Strong was my real dad. You don't need the players yelling about Charlie Strong's my real dad.
No, but, well, and I think Tom Herman might have played it wrong in that, you know, the way Calipari plays it is perfect. It's perfect. You want to go, then I'm going to be 100% behind
you. Even if you don't mean it, pretend like it.
Yes, you have to.
Pretend like it, because this isn't your crew of guys.
And it's not your life. And if those kids need to go, and you may say, dude, okay, let's find out. I don't agree. But once they decide that they're gone.
Here's the thing.
You've got to be 100% behind them.
I said this to, this is my opinion, I said this to Coach Herman. I said this to people who had, you know, the ear of Connor Williams. I didn't think he was going in the first round. I didn't see first round on tape. I told you that on the air. I've said it for a long time. His tape was not great last year. But he still is going to make a lot of money. He actually went to the perfect place, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
The perfect place.
I mean,
place.
He's hidden by all pros.
Yes, and his thing is less physical, more mental. He loses confidence. I've gotten to know a lot more about the situation. It's a little worrisome because it's a confidence
thing.
Is
he Jonathan Martin?
No, I don't think he's Jonathan Martin, but he gets way down on himself, way down on himself when things don't go perfect. But being next to between Travis Frederick and Tyron Smith is the place you want to be.
Yes.
That's where you
want
to be.
In your life, everyone
absolutely.
Wants to be a sandwich there.
But if he did go back to school, I think there is a chance he could have improved his draft stock. But sometimes it's about where you go, not when you go. And in this particular instance, I think that's
perfect.
It actually is going to work out really well. If he doesn't make it with the Cowboys, it wasn't meant to be.
No. No, honestly, being that meat in that sandwich,
yeah.
Travis Frederick and Tyron Smith,
yeah.
It can't be better.
No,
they will hide a lot, and they will help him. I mean, Travis.
You don't have to hide him from a football standpoint. He's a good football player. Just I think his confidence level, it's like you said, that sandwich is it's a lot of good talent.
Yeah.
You should fit right in over there. But I think Herman's got to be very careful. The one thing you don't want to do is that's a program that is – waiting to take off again. They've got a guy you don't want to alienate, Mac Brown, ever, which I don't think he will. But you also don't want to alienate former players, either who played there in the past. You want to embrace them. And we've seen some schools that embrace. Miami has done a good job of embracing. Dell, you know this. Certain guys don't embrace Miami culture. Other guys say, yes,
yeah,
we want,
Miami
– you know, we want it to
the turnover chain. You know what? Rick has brought it back. He's brought that swag back.
Yeah.
But here's the deal, though. You know every coach cannot be more pissed off about this whole trend that's developing. I'm not playing in the bowl game. Now,
well,
it has been happening.
It's going to get worse.
It's been happening for a long time. A coach told me a while ago, he said, the worst thing is seniors at the bowl game. It's like, hey, I ain't playing. But you don't know it behind the scenes. You're trying to win yourself a bowl game. The fan base wants is, oh, we got to win this game. And the players don't give a rat's ass about it because I'm just trying to get to the league.
John, I was told that that bowls are the most important thing to everybody in the world and that all the players love bowl games. That's what I was told when they added 40 more.
Can't stand it. Can't stand it because it's just all, oh, really? When you see what happened to Jalen Smith? Notre Dame. Well, went to the Cowboys. What's his first name? What happened to him? How he had to sit out his rookie year because he got hurt in the bowl game. This is something that every player's worst nightmare. Hey, what am I doing this for? I'm not getting paid here. I need to get paid. And you guys are just worried about this. I ain't worried about this game. So, but a coach has to overcome that. And I don't know that Tom Herman has overcome that when he looks at his guys and says, that guy wasn't there for me in that bowl game, and I wanted him there in that bowl game. Sorry, this is his livelihood, and you're just going to have to accept a new world of college football player. That's all there is to it. Tom Herman, you're going to have to overcome it and grit your teeth and say, man, I still love that kid, and boy, I hope he crushes it at the next level and embrace him that he was part of your – now, again – he wasn't a guy that you brought on. He may not have ever bought into Tom Herman and what Tom Herman is doing.
Right.
So Tom Herman may have that against him.
What's a Longhorn culture? What I don't know. I can tell you that there's been, in years past, there's been the country club culture thing that you don't get guys to buy in all the way and yada, 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 and sometimes they haven't been pushed and this, that, and the other. So Tom Herman is going to do what he does, which is build the Ohio State method, you know, the Ohio State brand. He's going to call it that. But it's what Urban Meyer does. People who are close to Ohio State said Tom Herman's doing exactly what Urban did. But he's got to be careful, like with Belichick, where guys try to be Belichick and they come up way short. You better be careful about being, you know, Tom is influenced. Coach Herman is influenced by Urban. And if you ask him, he'd say, I'm not trying to be Urban Meyer. But no doubt you're influenced. Everybody's influenced by working for Bill Parcells or whoever.
Yeah.
So you're influenced by it. But he's trying to change culture over there, Texas. Now, I've been to a practice, and you know they go hard and all that stuff. But I like what he's doing. But you do need to make sure that you play nice with everybody, and outgoing guys, seniors. To get people who are NFL caliber players to come there, you don't want to get a reputation of he's going to try to down talk you if you come out early.
And as hard as it may be to bite your tongue and swallow, this guy didn't play for me. This guy didn't buy in. This guy wasn't all about what we're trying to do here. You have got to play the game. Otherwise, future guys are going to go, hell, I ain't doing that.
But I think he and every other coach get really disappointed when players, and we're not talking, Deshaun Elliott was never going to be a day one or day two player. Why not play in a bowl game?
Because I might get hurt and I might not be a day three guy.
No, I mean, come on. You're playing football. You might get hurt in any game.
Well, right, but there's one left.
What do you think Alonzo thinks about guys who don't ever play in bowl games? Maybe he doesn't care. I don't know
that he cared.
He may not care.
Talk to him about Deshaun Elliott, and he was like,
"Well, yeah."
Dude thinks he's more than he is.
Yeah, no. I knew that going in. But the tape said one thing, but players not playing, this is going to be a much, much bigger issue. It's one thing when the first round or the high-end guys don't. When you get second and third rounders and fifth rounders not playing, you're not going to have bowl games a whole lot longer.
But it's nothing new. Not that they're not playing, but they didn't want to play.
Who's going to want to sponsor a bowl game where the top players aren't playing? You know what that is? I just call that
everyone. Training. What are you talking about? They're just add four more next year, Lance. What are you talking about? They don't care.
We'll see how long they last.
It's just a money grab.
It's just like spring training.
Oh, let's see how long they last. They have 78 bowl games, and you're worried about how you think they're not going to last?
Christian McCaffrey didn't play. Leonard Fournette didn't play. Like five guys from the Longhorns didn't play. You gotta have guys playing in the games.
You know what they need though? Testosterone.
Well, I can tell you this: they probably don't, and it's not even legal if they did. But I'm pretty sure if they tested positive, they'd be in big trouble. But I will say this: if you don't have your testosterone, you may remember when you were out there in your glory days of football, or maybe you had a basketball league that you played in, and man, you remember the good old days and. Or when you were, man, I was in the best shape of my life when I was whatever age you were. And I remember when I got, but now whenever I work out, I don't see the same definition in my shoulders. I don't see this. I got too much belly flab around my belly. You may be saying things like this, and you may still be working out and grinding and eating great, but things have changed. Well, things have probably changed because a drop in testosterone. That's one of the number one culprits. If you also feel your energy level isn't where it needs to be, isn't where it's been in the past, you lack that drive and that get up and go that you once had, these are all potential signs of low testosterone. It doesn't have to be all of them, but if this sounds even remotely like you, what does it hurt to go into men's T-clinic and go get tested for your testosterone? See where the levels are. They have your results in minutes, and if your testosterone is low, what they do is they can put you on a treatment course right away where you will see a result, a bump in energy right away, but 2 to 3 months down the line, the results are going to start to really show up, and you're going to get on a scale and go, whoa. You're going to put your clothes on and just say, whoa, this is way different. The energy level's different. The libido spikes. Everything about it is going to be positive, but they're there to make sure that you get the optimal levels so that you're treated with the type of safety and care that you deserve. That's how they roll at Men's T Clinic. Four locations in the Houston area, Cypress, Pearland, Pasadena, and the Heights. Go to menstclinic.com to find a location nearest you.
And remember, if you still want to get in on the listener invitation party, we're still looking for caller 12. We're still looking for caller 12 for the listener appreciation party. Couple calls to go if you want to get in on that. We'll be back to John and Lance at Prime Social.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Coors Light. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so we're live here at Prime Social, as you just heard. Our tournament's going to start at 12. If you want to get in here and take advantage of the tournament, it's a $100 entry fee, no big deal. If you can beat us, either one of us, if you knock us out sometime after the break, you get a $100 chip.
That ain't happen.
Which you probably won't do. We have had listeners who have cashed in four-digit sums. We had one listener cash in for about $1,100 because he got to the final table. I've gotten to two final tables here in these tournaments. John's gotten to one. AJ Hoffman got to one. So, hey, you guys, if you like to play a little poker, get in here today. And if you can't make it in until later, as long as you get in sometime before 2 o'clock, you can still sign up with late registration and get in as well. Now, you know, most people are not huge LeVar Ball fans. Everyone knew that he was going to be a problem with the Lakers.
Who's not a LeVar Ball fan?
Well, okay, so when the Lakers drafted Lonzo Ball, everyone knew, except maybe the Lakers, that it was going to be – I always heard people say, this is why I never buy into this. Well, Boogie Cousins, you know, if he gets with the Rockets, he's – no, I think he's going to be who he's going to be. But regardless, well, it doesn't matter. He's not going to be a Rocket. But the same idea was used for Lonzo. I mean, for a LeVar Ball. No, when he gets with the Lakers, LeVar's going to shut up. He'll be, you know, that's the Lakers. That's Magic Johnson. Like, no, he's not. He's a loudmouth. He's not going to. So he apparently was a massive issue in L.A. Like, if you follow them on a day-to-day basis, apparently he was a real huge problem. We heard about the major ones where he started saying Luke Walton wasn't coaching well and all this stuff. We heard about all that stuff. But apparently, in reading this article, he was trying to interject himself in everything. Well, now that they signed LeBron James, it's a wrap. And Magic Johnson and those guys, they're not tiptoeing around LeVar Ball. They used to tiptoe around him a little bit and try not to just, you know, they didn't want to poke the bear because they didn't want him going all of the shows and yapping and causing dissension. Now that they have LeBron, it's like we don't care what you think, LeVar, because we can ship you and your son's ass out of here.
They could have done that anyway, though.
They could have, but they really like him as a player. But now they're not going to listen. With LeBron, they can move LeVar or Lonzo for anything they want. Magic Johnson was on Jimmy Kimmel last night, and listen to what he had to say about LeVar Ball here.
Before you took this meeting with LeBron, did you speak to Lonzo Ball's father to make sure it was okay? okay to recruit him to be a part of the team.
I would have called you first before I called LeVar Ball. Trust me.
I would have called you before I called LeVar Ball. Trust me.
No, I didn't call LeVar.
You did not call. Okay.
No, and ask permission.
So let me tell you what's interesting to me is now LeVar's going to have to deal with the fact now LeVar's talked about LeBron before, like my sons are better set up for success than LeBron James' sons. And LeBron James came out and said, you need to keep my kids' names out of your mouth. And so now LeVar's like, whoa, we're ready to big ball of brand and LeBron are ready to take over L.A. And LeBron's like, I don't need.
Keep me out of your mouth,
I don't
too.
Need Jello and Angelo and, you know, Michelotto and whatever. I don't need any of your kids.
Lemon Jello.
Yeah, I don't need
orange Jello.
None of your Jellos. I'm good. I brought Anderson Varejao to a final. I'm fine. I don't need any of your Jellos. You can take your slides, your $500 slides, and go. LeVar has to play ball now. He has to shut. You know, no pun intended. He has to shut up and do nothing so that his son has a chance to be a star in L.A. like he wants with LeBron. He's set up perfectly. Shut your mouth and go away forever, unless it's all about LeVar, which we know it is.
Well,
and then he's going to talk his way out of L.A., and it's going to be an interesting little soap opera. I hope it becomes corrosive and collapses the whole organization. That's my hope.
I don't think it collapses a whole – I think it collapses a whole family, though. It's gotten to the point
you're
where
right.
It's ridiculous.
Because Lonzo is a young man, and someday he's going to be a grown man, and he's going to say,
you killed me.
You're messing my stuff up so bad, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you really are.
No, he is killing him.
He's in a great spot right now. You don't think he'd love to play with LeBron James?
Maybe he gave those kids that will and that – well, obviously they're talented from the genes, but –
a lot of confidence.
He may have given them, you know, the ability to succeed at the highest level in sports. Alonzo anyway. I don't know about the other two.
Yeah.
Certainly not LiAngelo. He's just terrible. But there's a point where you have to step away as a parent, and that's something that he just hasn't learned, and I don't know that he ever will. He's just so consumed with LeVar that I just don't see him ever, ever acquiescing and saying, okay, let my sons be the story and I'll move into the background. I just never see it. I can't see it. He's just too
– it's too about him.
He's just got too big an ego.
It's never been about the kids.
He's always a megalomaniac.
It's been about him building the kids out of nothing, and look what I've done, look what I've accomplished.
Look at me. My 2.2 points per game, I could beat Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, and he said LeBron now. He threw that dumb thing in there. But that was the other day, so he could beat LeBron too. I mean, what are you doing now? Now we just know you're – it's. But here's the thing. I really do feel bad for the kid because the kid – and now the, and now Lonzo is throwing diss tracks at a teammate. What is the NBA now? Diss tracks between NBA players. And Kyle Kuzma said, well, I'm going to fight him when I see him. Like, okay, is that your – like, what other bars do you have? No, no, that's not a rap. I'm going to legitimately fight him when I see him. Just, there's no rhymes. There's nothing else coming. There's no beats. I want to fist fight him and punch him in his face and fist fight him. But can you do it to a beat so we can do a diss track? No, I'm just going to fight him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're supposed to do diss tracks.
You're not building your brand.
You're not building your brand, Kyle.
Hey, we got Mike Trout over there in L.A. already. We yeah. don't need that, Kyle.
Come on, Kyle. We've got to build our brand. No, your brand is going to be just fine if you play with LeBron James and you win in a Western conference.
All right. Screw you, Lenny. Lenny.
Oh, I did not like seeing this yesterday.
No. I'm just so sick of the Indians.
Former San Diego Padres closer Brad Hand was acquired by the Indians yesterday. The Cleveland Indians.
And screw you, Lenny. That's all. We talked about it. Yeah, Lenny, we talked about screw you.
We just did.
How about that?
That made me sad because he was one of the targets that made the most sense. And now he's off the table, and the Indians beat the Astros to it. And sometimes you're going to have to make deals before the trade deadline.
Oh, LiAngelo's the good one. What's the other one's name?
LaMelo. He stinks.
Oh, LaMelo's the stinky one?
LiAngelo's a young one who's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Okay, so I'm getting my Jellos mixed up. So Trey said he had 48 points on 54 shots. So,
oh, great. That's good. I don't care about. I mean,
no, 54 shots. You should have 102 points.
It's called Iversening.
Yeah. All right.
Didn't make you upset that Brad Hand's off the market?
Yes.
It made me really upset yesterday.
Yes, it hurt.
I started to cry. I had to we were on the air when AJ said something, and I had to I had to shield my eyes so he couldn't tell I was crying.
I had a groin issue after that, okay? Yeah. So, yes, it hurt. It hurt badly. What's happening out there right now? Look, if you're looking for a great time had by all, your Skeeters, well, they're on the road now. They head out on the road, but they're going to be back. And you, my friends, are going to be able to take advantage of what's going on. If you haven't been to Consolation Field, we were just there this week, and it was awesome. But they come back, do your Sugar Land Skeeters on July 27th. That's next Friday. And, of course, next Friday, if they're playing at home on a Friday, what happens? Fireworks. That always happens. It's the first time it's ever happened in a minor league stadium, fireworks on a Friday night. But it's going to happen. Roger Craiger is going to be on Saturday. Roger Craiger is pretty good. That's good music right there. That's going to be Saturday, next Saturday.
So I was thinking about this. We know we got a baseball team here that's a really, really good baseball team. You know what I really like about the Skeeters, and you know what's one of the selling points? Is
their baseball hat.
These are guys who do it they really do it because they love baseball. Everybody who's out there on the field really loves baseball. They're not making a ton of money doing that, but they love to play baseball. They're out there grinding. Some of them are former major leaguers. You can read up on him like, whoa.
Yeah.
And this guy's still, why is he still out there? Because he loves to play the game. Isn't that what everyone says? Yeah. I want to see people who love to play the game.
That's
then
them.
Go out to Consolation Field then, because that's what you're going to see on both sides of the diamond is Sugar Land Skeeters. You can go to sugarlandskeeters.com. That's love of the game out there. But not only that, they go that extra mile, the management there, to make sure that you have a great time at the games. The customer satisfaction and the fun at the ballpark is what they sell, and that's what they provide every single week. Oh, and by the way, they're also a really good team as well. SugarlandSkeeters.com. Get your ticket package right there online, or you can buy them when you walk up same day. SugarlandSkeeters.com.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Coors Light. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 Live at Prime Social. Come join us for the big tournament today at noon. Just $120 to enter.
Our boys at, you see our boy looking over the table there at table one?
Oh,
Zlatan? Security guard.
Zlatan?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They got a security guard here who's just yoked, and he's got...
He looks like Zlatan.
He looks like he hopes you get froggy.
Yeah.
He hopes somebody has a problem.
He's so bored. I hope somebody has just sitting here.
He's like, God, I would love to use this baton.
Can someone please, please stand up and start shouting, please make a move.
I would, yeah, please make a move. I would love for you to. When you see the security guards that hope you make a move.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you want, though. You want that at this place. Like, he's the overnight guy. When things can get a little sideways, you want that guy here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's alcohol involved.
Yeah.
That's when you want him, on your side.
How loud is this broadcast right now?
You can't hear it.
No. Y'all see the lady at that table?
No.
Yeah?
Yo.
Bay.
Yeah. Full house, baby.
Poker Bay. Yeah.
She's going to be taking her cards and go. Sprinkling it on the table.
Sprinkling
it. That's how she starts. She's dropping her chips.
She's just dropping her chips.
Dropping her chips like this. What's up, girl? Why are you in here at 8 o'clock?
That's what my dude is doing.
Poker Bay.
My dude's not there trying to. He's not trying to.
Oh, he's over
in the
there.
High stakes. Yeah. There's another Poker Bay in the high stakes room.
He's over there.
Yeah.
He's trying to impregnate her from across the table.
Well, you just got much more aggressive with this conversation.
We're just like having a compliment. Yeah.
Poker Bay. He's trying to get her pregnant. Like, whoa, hey.
He's Zlatan.
We just said that we're doing this with the salt.
Okay.
He's virile looking.
He is virile.
Yeah, he's very. He's a virile.
Yes.
Virile looking guy. He lifts. I'm pretty sure he lifts.
We have not even touched on, which I'm sure every single show in the world.
Yeah.
Started and finished. With the NFL anthem, now they're reviewing it because the Dolphins came out and said we could suspend you for 4 games. Which, by the way, they didn't say they would suspend you.
Why did the Dolphins say anything?
Because, well, here's the thing: is I think the NFL did say we want your plans. What is your plan?
Why are you
every
coming out and saying anything publicly?
They didn't. Well, the AP somehow procured their guidelines and released them, but the Dolphins didn't make a statement until they had to.
No.
Somehow they did because somebody inside leaked it.
Yeah, there's a leak. Yeah. I mean, that's different than. And here's the. Oh, my God. Is this. And oh, by the way, all day on ESPN because it's the perfect ESPN story. Are you kidding? Bob Lee. Do you think Bob Lee had some kind of an explosion? When this came out yesterday.
He looked like Manny after Bregman hits a home run.
Right,
he had another outside the – or is it outside the lines?
It's outside the lines.
It's only one sentence, by the way.
Well, Jarrell Casey came out also and said, I don't care. I'm going to still go out on the field and protest or whatever.
Right. Well, here's the problem with the whole thing is the NFL has said – all the NFL has said is we're fining the teams. If this happens to your team, guess what? We're fining you. And so the teams are got to be, wait a minute, okay, well, all right, guys, if you do this, then you're going to be suspended because we ain't paying this fine every single time. The NFL has forced the teams to actually act and be – They put them in a real tough spot. This is what should have happened a long time ago, though, what is happening now, is that the NFL gets together with the Players Association and they somehow find a way to figure this thing out because – it has been the Players Association and Roger Goodell have been at such odds that everything is contentious between them. What they need to do is they need to sit down, and Roger Goodell needs to stay out of it. He needs to appoint someone and say, guys, come up with a way where our players, just like the NBA players, they're all woke, they're all public conscious, they all have public consciousness, but they don't disrespect the flag. So let's find a way to do that. It's not that hard. Well, and I will say again, Lance, and you will disagree wholeheartedly, Roger Goodell is an idiot.
That's the worst thing you've ever said today.
Can I read this tweet from Derek?
Do you hear this nonsense?
He's the worst commissioner. People from poker tables, dealers are telling you
that you're way off on that.
Roger Goodell is the biggest idiot in all of sports.
On a serious note, though, I think one of the first issues you have that is not going away. See what you think also. As you say, disrespect the flag. The first issue is people don't even respect on that because other they don't agree on that because other people will say, we're not disrespecting the flag, John. We are simply pointing out that this is our best method of getting your attention to point out that people are being killed in the streets and the injustice and this, that, and the other. So if you can't agree, because you're not the only ones. I mean, that's a common theme is you're disrespecting the national anthem or the flag. And when there's a fundamental disagreement about what the protest is about, I think you're never going to come to any kind of accord.
Right. Well, but that's the problem is that there is a disagreement about that.
Yeah.
And they don't feel like they're never going to come to a common ground on that. You can say what you want about anybody, and I feel this way, you feel that way, and there's never going to be an accord on this. Never.
No.
But let's stop doing it. Let's stop doing it and find another way to voice that opinion that you have, to voice.
But the fact that it makes you and everyone else that uncomfortable is the reason why they're doing it, and that's the other fundamental issue is that if you're intentionally doing it because it makes people uncomfortable, then I understand that, but that making people uncomfortable, you're going to get pushback, and it's
the whole problem with that though is that you're losing sight of what you're trying to accomplish. It's all about the flag and the anthem instead of being about what you're trying to.
Malcolm Jennings has kind of said the same thing. He goes, "We're losing." He goes, "All this flag," and he goes, "I'm really getting frustrated that we're not talking about the reason we're doing this anyway, which is the injustice in the communities and this, that, and the other." And he's getting really frustrated that this is the conversation.
It's all the conversation.
And it's not the conversation
that's exactly right
that he wants it to be.
All right, here's Sage Rosenfeld made a point. He's maybe the wokest of the woke at this point.
Chris Long's a winner.
But Sage Rosenfeld, at least on Twitter, is out there doing it too. He says, it's been almost 2 years since a player took a knee. Then a need to respect the troops to bring awareness to a worthy cause. 2 years later, that peaceful demonstration is still making waves in America. A press conference conversation wouldn't have gotten 2 days of coverage.
He's right. He's right. Here's another one real quickly. What do you guys think about this? Darren Rovell tweeted this out and got a lot of feedback. If Roger Goodell can't figure out a unified, fair, and rational solution to the national anthem before the start of the season, he should not be the commissioner of the NFL. It's as simple as that.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
If he can't figure out a solution, but what if the players say no?
It's his job to bring to make sure that his league is as healthy as possible. That's his job.
But what would you do?
What would I do?
I don't think you can make the players do anything, especially right now.
Just like the NBA couldn't. But what they did is they worked with their players' association and had a common respect for each other, which is not happening on either side.
Goodell has come out and said, you follow this enough to know, he came out and said, we don't want the kneeling, but we do want to work with you on the charitable giving and how we can get together with each team to figure out how we can have an impact.
And yet unilaterally put out a policy for the national anthem, by owners, as opposed to working with the Players Association and coming to an accord. They just said, well, here's what we think. This is what we're going to do. This is our new policy, guys. And it's like, really? Are you an idiot?
Well, that's the problem is you didn't work with it. So now you can't just impose your will.
Well, now they're going to.
Well, you can try to impose your will on the players. But let me tell you where it's going to really have a big impact. Everyone can act like, oh, it's going to have an impact in the people are still going to the games. Cord cutting, not watching games. People are still going to the games. Football's still going to be healthy. At the end of the day, it really is. We can talk about drops and whatever. The big problem they're going to have is the Players Association is going to not give in on anything ever again. Because they're going to say, if you're going to be this way, and it's going to turn into a battle of wills in the next collective bargaining agreement.
That's what it is now.
Yeah, but we have something coming up, the collective bargaining agreement, where we're going to see that showdown. And they're going to say,
"Well, it is now. No, this is going to be terrible labor strife." But this is a chance right here and right now because they have said now, and let's see if they actually do it. They have said, "We're going to work with the Players Association to come up with a solution for this thing." And if they are able to do that, if they're able to come to an accord, if they're able to stop the kneeling, if they're able to work together, maybe it'll be the start and the foundation of when that labor agreement does come up, that it's not as contentious as
it is. How does that have anything to do with the injustice that they're combating. In other words, you're like, what do we have to do to get you guys to stop doing this? And if you're Malcolm Jenkins,
wait a minute. For cops to stop killing it, but again, they made this a league. The league can't stop it. They wanted to bring awareness to this. They brought awareness to this thing.
Right.
But they're not stopping anything unless they go and work with local police departments. Right. As opposed to this, go work with
which
local
the Dolphins did some of that,
right.
If I remember correctly.
Their
Dolphins.
Teams have. Yeah. Teams have done this.
Well, my
and
point
that's,
is,
that's
you just,
actually
is this hush money? Because here's what could happen: the next collective bargaining agreement. If the players keep doing this long enough, here's a strategy. I'm just throwing this out there. He could say, hey, you guys need to keep making as much noise as you possibly can, because when we get to the next CBA, we're going to use this as leverage, and we're going to get more money from the owners.
That could well be.
We're going to get a higher percentage.
Well, that's terrible, then. If you're using that
I would agree.
To get more
well,
money,
if you wanna hush,
then you're a bunch of a-holes.
Right, but if you say you want us to hush about something we think is important, we'll play the hush game. You're going to give us more, and we're still going to do stuff in our community. I'm just saying.
Great.
This could end up having
great. Use kids getting killed by cops to get more money for yourself. Player.
Well, okay. So
that's an a-hole move.
That's a bastardized approach of what I was generally talking about. But what I am saying is you do see how this could turn into something that it turns into a financial, a collective bargaining issue.
Like, everything turns into a financial issue in America 2018.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and you know what they need? Bill advisor.
I don't know if there's, you know, what if they come to an impasse at on the collective bargaining agreement, and Lanny has to come in from Bill advisor and say, guys, we've got some people here that are going to work with you. Listen, Damori Smith, just text GO to 232323, and he will work on lowering, or he will work on raising your rates for like, no, that's not what they're going to be able to do. They actually only do lower rates. Maybe they'd work for the owner's side, but they lower rates. Bill advisor, and I swear it's at least once a week, somebody sends me a message on Twitter that says, is a bill advisor really work? It 100% works. It's 100% people who are trained to work with customer retention from cell phone, satellite, home phone, internet provider, energy, homeowners insurance, auto insurance. They work with the customer retention so that they get the best rates for you. When I say the best rates, I mean the best rates that are offered are new customer rates. Let Bill Advisor work with you to get you new customer rates. It's going to cost you $12.99 a month. I mean, are you kidding me? That's like $150 a year. And the average savings is anywhere around, it's about $900 to $1,000 right now. But it's not unusual to see savings up to $2,000 and $3,000 the very first year you use them. Go to BillAdvisor.com for more information, or just text GO to 232323, and you will get started on your way to lowering your bills and putting more of your hard-earned money in your pocket. BillAdvisor.com.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Coors Light. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Live at Prime Social. Right here on ESPN 97.5. Are you going to tweet those out for the people? No. All right.
Real, I just had to get a picture of Poker Bay. There's actually two Poker Bays in here right now. And Real, I said, Real, stand right there so I can pretend like I'm taking a picture of you. He goes, he did like a long horn.
I thought he's good. You should.
He threw his horns
did
up.
Did you get the whole picture? Did you get
no,
a picture?
No, I just got Bay.
Oh, why did you
I know. I wish I did have. I know. I wish I had. Well, I zoomed in because it was about Poker Bay and not you. But after I immediately regretted not having Raheel's little longhorns in the picture.
Because the tweet would have been, hey, Raheel's so excited about college football season, parentheses, Poker Bay.
Yes. Yep.
Well, go take another one. And they're gonna, she's
no,
going to be like,
and that's
oh,
when,
really?
That's when Iraq comes in and kicks us out.
Yeah, right? I don't need smoke with that guy.
I'm good, too.
He's Iraq. We call him Iraq because that's what's written across the back of his windshield.
Gigantic letters.
Gigantic
like, you got a problem with it? He's just like this.
What? Huh?
Represent.
You know what I've never asked him about?
No, we're good.
You know what I've never asked him about? That.
No. You know what I've never asked him about? Anything ever.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. The real injustice is non-guaranteed contracts.
The players are super salty about the NBA contracts. That's not going away.
By the way, not every. By the way, just so everybody knows, not every NBA contract is guaranteed. It's not. I remember when we were talking
about most are. The big
but not everyone is. Remember when we were asking about it wasn't Kelvin Cato. It was Luis Scola's contract. And Daryl Morey said everybody thinks it's not guaranteed. Yeah. That's not guaranteed.
That's one of the great. That's one of the great fallacies is that every contract is guaranteed. Some of them are non-guaranteed. Although most,
I think
the big
now,
guys
though,
are all 100% guaranteed.
Which ones aren't guaranteed now, though?
I don't know. Has it changed? Has there been a change in that?
I haven't heard of any.
You won't know.
Yeah, are we just talking about the 10th, 11th guys that are on the?
Well, Scola wasn't.
No, Scola wasn't.
But that was also almost 10 years ago. Scola's deal was a long time ago, and they've renegotiated CBA since then. So I don't think there is – I don't know if it's that prevalent.
We'd have to ask Daryl Morey if Daryl Morey would ever return your calls, but apparently you said something ugly about him, and look what happened. Now you don't get your calls returned. How's that?
Well, Daryl doesn't answer – by sports map. Daryl doesn't answer phone calls. You text Daryl. Like with most people now, most people just don't answer a phone. It's just got to be a text. It's got to be a text now.
Yeah. Now.
Bye. Okay. Ladies,
bye. Bye. Who cares? Bye.
People don't. It's harder to get people to answer phone calls now. It is. It's like, ugh, somebody's trying to call. I'm going to have to talk.
No, I don't. Yeah, nobody answers calls.
Just answer.
Just text.
I swear to God, we'll get finished way quicker if you will talk.
No, honestly. Texting is maybe the greatest invention ever.
Yeah, but it also takes longer to say what you got to say, too.
Oh, but you don't have to talk and hang up.
I've been doing a practice where I call somebody once a day that I haven't talked to in a while.
And?
What does that mean?
It's been great.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
That's
great for relationships.
Yes.
It's great to just catch up on people. You know, hey, what's happening in your life? Because with the text, it eventually gets to just emojis, and I don't want that.
See, but you're
forgetting about the communication aspect of life, John.
Maybe, but it won't take you long to catch up with everybody because you're boring, you don't drink or anything, so you don't have that many friends. So
I can still have friends.
No, probably not. Who's going to be friends with you if you're not going to party? What the hell?
No, you can still have friends.
Not really.
The conversations aren't just remember that time we were wasted. Yeah,
drinking.
I don't remember much of it actually. No, I don't remember much of it.
Drinking and sitting around at a bar isn't partying. That's not a party. You're just drinking.
It is.
No, it's not.
No, it's partying.
No,
it's partying.
It's not partying. You're just sitting and drinking. That's not a party.
Yeah, that's a party.
It's not a party.
There's always a party around it. Yeah, there's always a party around Coors Light, Dell. You don't know nothing about it.
They don't sell.
How would you know?
They don't sell.
Okay?
That's not how they sell their product. There's always a party. They sell it on the crispness, the pureness, the water, the blue balance. They don't sell party.
It's like asking Alex Bregman about dunking a basketball. No, that's not what you talk to him about. I'm not talking to you about alcohol because you know
it's
nothing
not a party.
About it.
I've been to parties and sitting around drinking. It's not a party.
Yeah, you guys taking Molly?
Yeah.
Are you taking
Molly
when you're partying?
Yeah.
Party.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
At Damaris, you're taking Molly.
Yeah, we'll drop a few.
You're sitting around.
You don't drop Molly.
Yes.
Is this a commercial or is this live? What is happening right now? Is this a Coors Light commercial about Molly at a barbecue place?
No, he's saying he parties every time he sits around with buddies drinking beer. That's not a party. That's just drinking beer. Yeah, you're just drinking beer.
You're just hanging out with the guys, drinking beer, watching some like boring third-rate tournament. This is a real tournament.
This is a boring second.
This is
second.
No, the British Open is you have to watch it.
Look, it doesn't matter what it's rated. It's
the
all
Open
boring.
Championship.
You don't first rate, second rate, the Trail of Tears Open. It doesn't matter. It's all boring.
The Trail of Tears Open.
There's no such thing as the Trail of Tears Open.
Terrible.
We don't do that.
We don't name golf tournaments after the Trail of Tears.
After tragedies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at my boy Finau. Look at him.
Yeah, what about Finau.
I go Finau. I don't know. Whatever it is.
Hey, are you going to Texans at all? Camp West Virginia. Sounds fun.
I've been thinking about it, but we get so little access that it's almost a waste of time.
You'll end up in a diner for 3 days. And like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, Right.
Do you really want to be in West Virginia without?
Do I want to be 790 at the Super Bowl? No.
Well, his second boyfriend will be there. You would think he'd want to be there to hang out with Dana. Wouldn't Dana come down and hang out with you?
Second boyfriend?
Well, you're his first, clearly. I'm not gonna knock you down.
Not me.
No, Dana showed up like one day, right? I mean, he has his own Dana, team to.
Yeah, he's getting his own.
By the time we get there and the Texans are in camp, the college is already over.
I don't. For the Texans, it's great. For the media, it's not, because we, you know, if our job is to bring information to people, it's a lot harder. It comes from one source. You get it from interviews of people who are there. Now you can make the trip out there if you want to go, but
you can get
it doesn't make a lot of sense for us.
If
we don't have access, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us at all.
It's a 6-10 thing. Let them do it. That's fine. I don't care. if it was a 94.1 thing,
I'm gonna
care.
I'm gonna get.
All right,
we're gonna get Mark Berman will have all the interviews.
Yes, we'll get it.
I follow his Twitter feed. I'll be fine.
I'll get all. Yeah, we'll get all the information we need from Berman. All right, 9 o'clock ESPN.
When is it gonna get more heat? When are the Texans getting more heat? We're not. Where's
next
the
week.
Heat?
By the way, there
is it going to start?
Report. Yeah. When they
is it really going to start though?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it'll be. I think it's going to be calmer with the Astros. If you want to know the truth, I don't think that the fervor is going to be. Oh, the Texans. All people are still going to be like, hey, I want to talk Astros.
I talked to a guy in the league yesterday who said, "What's with the Texans getting all this respect? Like the Texans have a chance to be better than the Jaguars." He's like, I don't see this. He goes, maybe I don't know enough about the division, but this guy said, I don't see, and this is somebody who works for a team in the league, said, the Texans are old in the secondary. They got a linebacker who can't cover. Their offensive line stinks. He goes, where are people getting this that the Texans are the best team in the division?
Thank you.
I guess it's all Deshaun.
They're getting it from me.
They're getting it from John, actually.
Yeah. Actually,
we'll answer that question on the other side.
On the other side, we'll answer
that question. After you talk about Prime Social and coming here for the tournament.
So the tournament here at Prime Social is a lot of fun. I really enjoy tournament poker. Here's why. You can take a few more shots here and there. You can, you know, if you decide to take a little shot and you get caught, you back off. Sometimes you push all in. You can use strategy a little bit more. You can set people up at the table as they're trying to read you and who you are and how you play. You can set them up and play some different angles there. But the main thing is tournament versus cash. Well, you can make the choice because they have both here at Prime Social. You can play cash games. We came in here and there were 5 tables going this morning with cash games. Pot Limit Omaha, No Limit Hold'em games. They're in here, $1 and $3, no limit. It's very easy to find a spot and get in here and start playing your poker, make a little money. It's also a beautiful place for you to enjoy yourself on daily tournaments, starting at noon, except on Sundays when they start at 2 o'clock. And then, of course, Saturdays is the $500 entry fee if you're serious about winning some big cheddar. PrimeSocialTX.com, located at 7801 Westheimer between Hillcroft and Fondren. You are going to find a great game of poker and a great atmosphere. Very safe, valet parking, good food, beverages, great wait staff, awesome management, and TVs all over the place so that you don't miss out on your favorite sporting events as well. Come play us today. Tournament starts at 12, but you can get into late registration all the way until 2 o'clock with a chance to win real cash and knock me or John out, and you get $100 bounty chip that you can cash in, and that is yours to keep. PrimeSocialTX.com. So many-